horribly red.
And then we've been more aware of that airplane sound going overhead.
I was like, I wonder where they're going.
Yeah.
Do you think you can fly to Hogwarts?
Well, Harry and Ron do.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about the Ford Anglia. Alas.
Alas.
Well, it would have been so much cooler if it was like a Cadillac that they flew.
Yeah, but yeah. Is Arthur Weasley going to have a Cadillac?
I mean, if you're going to have a flying car, you might as well have a Swish one.
Yeah, but I mean, they're
poor, aren't
they?
He has a very sort of like Arthur-appropriate car, though.
Well, yeah.
It's like a Ford Anglia. It's like, oh, fuck me. I don't know what my flying car would be. I feel like it'd either be like a Mini Cooper or like an Impala, maybe.
I don't think I would choose a car. I'd choose something more aerodynamic.
Like what?
Well, I guess they are pretty.
Like
I just
a bobsled.
Feel like, well, they're not really made for flying, are they?
Yeah, well, that's what the magic's for, right?
Yeah, I suppose. All right, physics aside. I don't know. It's not consuming fuel, is it?
No, so you're being very environmentally friendly.
In that case, I really don't. I wouldn't.
I'm trying to think what a very Tom car would be. I feel like something like brown. Brown and functional. all I keep thinking in my head is like the car from Only Fools and Horses.
The three-wheeled yellow van.
I don't know, mine would probably be a hearse. Anyway, what are they listening to, Tom?
What?
You know, what is this podcast?
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Poorly Read. This is episode 12, during which we're going to be discussing chapters 16, 17, and 18 of Harry Potter and the Chamber of Secrets, the final three chapters.
The final. Oh, we can't do that because we'll get sued. The final countdown. Like we'll like auto-tune it, so it'll be fine.
Do we have that technology?
I'm sure we can find a plug-in. Just a side note, on my notes I've written chapter 16, The Chamber of Secreta, by accident.
Secreta.
Which I don't hate. Yeah, so this is the final three chapters of the book.
And I sort of think, listening to them, I was kind of starting to get worried that this episode might not actually end up being that funny because, like, I mean, it's like, say what you will about the ridiculous
tomfoolery
contrived build up to it.
Yeah.
But the end of this book is properly good.
Yeah, I loved every minute of listening to this at double the speed.
Yeah.
Which is bizarre now, because when I try to listen to it at normal speed, I'm like, oh, God, can you just hurry up and get the word out?
It sounds like he's speaking, like, deliberately slowly. Yeah. You get used to listening to it at double speed.
But, yeah, I agree. I genuinely loved every minute of this. I was, because all of it is really good. I think there's still plenty to say that I was like, fuck me, especially with that twat Dumbledore.
Yeah.
Who I was just like, oh, God, please, somebody save these children from this awful man. Oh, God. But yeah, in general, though, I think it was super well written, very exciting, and it just like sort of reaffirmed exactly why this book is my favourite.
Yeah.
It's just so good. Yeah, I really did enjoy it. So yeah, I'm glad we're on the same page.
Me too.
So yeah, how do we begin chapter 16?
Well, I think...
Oh, sorry. Can we just say as well that as we're recording this, we've just hit like 1,000 listens on our podcast.
Yeah.
So thank you so much. And by the time you're listening to this, I'm sure we would have reached 20,000.
At least.
Because we're that famous now.
Yeah.
So thank you, everyone, for all your support and stuff. We really appreciate it. Carry on listening. And please tell your friends. Leave us ratings and things on iTunes.
Yeah. Because that really does help.
It like, really fucking does. I know. Do it, bitches.
Yeah. But like until I started, you know, looking into it, like how Apple, you know, rates and ranks podcasts, I didn't realize. I thought it was just a thing, you know, that podcasters ask for. But like, nah, I've been going through like my podcast library and like leaving 5-star ratings on podcasts I like because like, man, it really helps.
That is so nice of you. Oh, Tom. But back to the pressing matter at hand.
Yeah, they find out that they will still have exams.
Yeah, because they're in fucking Transfiguration. And because they have a little conversation about, because they want to go back to the bathroom, obviously, to talk to Moni Myrtle. But they're like, how are we going to get there now when everyone's on such high alert? They're going to wonder why we want to go into the girls' bathroom.
Yeah.
And then McGonagall fucking announces that the exams are going to be in like 2 weeks. And everyone's like, what? Why? Children are almost dead and you're still making us take exams.
Well, yeah, but I mean, if they're going to carry on with the school, if they're not going to close the school, like, what's the point in the school year if they're not going to have exams?
I agree for once, Tom. Yeah. No, I do think that, like, yeah, at the end of the day, there is no point in keeping the school open if they're not going to do the exams, because that's the whole point of them even being there.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I thought it was right for Mick G to sort of be like, well, why are you here if you're not going to fucking do an exam?
Yeah.
But, yeah, Seamus was very outraged.
Yeah, he was.
He was like, for fuck's sake.
Oh, let's not do the Irish thing again.
For fuck's sake. Fucking exams.
Yeah, he says that. Verbatim.
Yeah, and they get some good news from, I was going to say from McDonald's. The Pound Saver menu is back. No, the mandrakes are ready at last.
Yeah, ready to be slaughtered.
Yeah, ready to be chopped up. But I'm hoping that what they take from the mandrakes is just the leaves.
Oh, maybe. But I feel like she does say they're ready to be like cut up.
Oh, maybe they just cut off the like leafy bits and then stew those.
Yeah,
that's how I had to frame it in my mind, so I didn't have to witness this like mandrake genocide. Yeah. Oh god, everyone is like, oh my god, so maybe they'll be able to tell us then what was doing the petrification.
Yeah,
so that happens. They all go to breakfast, which I was like, does that happen in the same day they go to breakfast?
It must be the next day.
Would you go to your first lesson before you get something to eat?
Yeah.
Because when I was listening to it, I was like, oh, have they just gone to lunch? Is this the first mention of lunch? I went back and it was like, then at breakfast. And I was like, it's on the same day. So you're right, it must be the next day.
It must be the next day. They're going to have Transfiguration before breakfast.
Yeah. So they go to breakfast the next day. Ron is eating as usual. And then Ginny comes along looking all shaky
And nervous.
And she's trying to speak to them about something. And Harry sort of like quickly deduces that it might have something to do with the Chamber of Secrets based on how sort of like fucked up she seems. And then he's like, Ginny, is this thing you're going to tell us, does it have something to do with the Chamber of Secrets? And she gets more sort of like agitated.
Yeah.
And then fucking Percy comes along.
Ugh.
And he's like,
Percy.
Yeah. And he's like, Ginny, if you're not using that seat anymore, then I'll take it. And she like scurries off. And he sits down, and then like Harry's like, oh god, she was just about to tell us something.
You dick.
Yeah, you fucking twat. Also, I just realised that they named him Percy.
Yeah.
Oh god, why would you do that to a child?
It's like they knew how he would turn out.
Yeah. They're like, look, at this point in our birthing strategy, one of them's bound to be a bad egg. Let's name this one Percy, just in case. So yeah, Ginny fucks off and Harry's really mad. He's like, oh, Percy, she was just about to tell us something. And then Percy's like, oh no, don't worry about that. It was nothing.
Yeah, and then he gets all like nervous and like flustered. And yeah. It's like, oh, she walked in on me doing
something.
Wanking. Obviously wanking.
Yeah, I know. As I was listening to it, I was like, oh, she walked in on him, tossing himself off. And then I was like, oh, that's such an obvious joke, though. I don't even want to say it.
Yeah, but I mean, we have to. It's like we have an obligation.
Because the way he talks about it as well, it's like it literally could be nothing else.
Yeah.
Like, oh, she walked in on me doing something and...
embarrassing. I asked her not to tell anyone, and I did think she would keep her word, but Ron's like, what were you doing?
Well, I had a conversation with Dumbledore, and he gave me a few tips, so I was... Look, I was trying out anal sex for the first time, okay? He said I should practice with something first. So I found Hagrid's old wand, which is double the size of a regular wand, so it fit nicely. I lubed it up, and here we go.
Can you imagine the look on Harry and Ron's faces?
Just Ron, like, holding the spoon to his mouth as the porridge, like, drips off.
Percy, this is a children's book.
And then he's like, and yes, Ron, I did get splinters. Oh, God, God. Both of them just sort of like look down to their bowls and just sort of carry on eating in silence. And the Percy's like, please, can one of you just say something? I need to know if this is not weird. Yeah.
They're like desperately trying to start talking about the Chamber of Secrets again. Where it's just
everyone's
hopeless.
Just like, it's lovely weather we're having, isn't it? Yes, much weather, yes. I wonder what it's like outside. Well, we have gotten in Chinese ceiling. Oh, yes, quite. I've got to tell you guys, it did feel good. Like, Percy, please! Ron just fucking sticks himself in the eye with his wand. He's like, oh, I've got to go to the hospital wing now. Oh, God. So that doesn't happen.
No.
Unfortunately. Basically, after that, they hurry off to Myrtle's bathroom because they're like, we really need to ask her.
Yeah, well, they try to.
Yeah, but then they're stopped.
By McG.
Yeah. I'm so glad that's caught on.
McG. and Dido.
Yeah, I wrote Dido too. But yeah, she's like, where the fuck do you think you're going?
Yeah. She's just fully had enough of their shit now.
It's like, look, you guys, I haven't fucking come in 20 weeks. Yeah. Kids are dying all over the place. And now you're trying to sneak into a fucking girl's bathroom. I've had enough. And Harry's like, I thought you were from Scotland. And she's like, but yeah, Harry just basically says, like, no, miss, we were going to see Hermione in the hospital wing. You know, we wanted to, you know, to see how she was, maybe talk to her a bit, read her some poetry or something.
Yeah, and that totally takes McGonagall by surprise. And she's like, oh, well,
yeah, she bursts into tears pretty much.
Yeah.
It's like, of course, we forgot about the effect offices happening on those closest to the petrified students.
That's closer to a Scottish accent than what you were doing.
I really can't do. Let me try again. Hey, Scotland. He forgot about the effects this was having on other students.
Nailed it.
Kablamo. Yeah. And yeah, so she says, yeah, go up to Madame Pomfrey and... I'm going to go back to Irish. Go back to Madame Pomfrey and... Sheila, just say that I gave you more information.
Or whatever that is.
Oh, yes. then they see a tear in her eye.
Yeah, and hear her blowing her nose as she goes around the corner.
Yeah. I'm like, Jesus Christ. Like, I'm not comfortable with McG, like, expressing any kind of emotion. Yeah. It unsettles me, to be quite frank.
Apart from anger. She expresses that quite a lot.
I love when she's angry. I love when she gets that tartan flush, you know? Yeah. So and Ron goes, Harry, that was the best story you've ever come up with.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, Ron, you just get me so excited with all your little quips. I really loved it. But they actually do go up to the hospital wing.
They do. Like, they have no choice. So they go up to the hospital wing and they realise that actually speaking to Hermione is pretty pointless because she's just fully, like, she's like a statue, just lying there completely unresponsive. And they see something in her hand that you kind of jumped the gun with a little bit on the last episode.
Oh, yeah. Do you know what? I did think that. I was like, oh, I thought they did this already.
Yeah. So they find a note in her hand, which is a torn away piece of a library book, kind of documenting.
First of all, sacrilege. Like, Hermione desecrated a book.
That's true, actually. God, I didn't think of that. She's not gonna, why would she? She would just carry the book.
Or just use a photocopier. A magic one.
But she, like, in every other situation where she needs to show them something she's found in the library, she brings them the book.
Mm.
But in this one, because like they would have seen if she had a book with her straight away, it needs to be something they don't notice until now. She's ripped out the page and clutches it in her hand.
Maybe she'd used up all her like borrowing allocations for the week. She was like, well, I can't take the book.
Yeah, maybe.
So why wouldn't you just like copy, because it's only a passage.
Yeah.
She could have just copied it down.
Time was of the essence, I guess.
I guess so, yeah. Maybe it was that. Maybe she was like, I need to get this to them before the Quidditch match starts or something.
Well, anyway, what it documents is the all sorts of information about a basilisk.
Yeah.
So it says that spiders flee before it. It flees before the rooster because its crow is fatal to it.
Yes, a basilisk is hatched from a chicken's egg that's been sat on by a toad.
Does it say that?
Yes. See, right, did you hear Tom's incredulity at my incredulousness?
Incredulity.
I did say it right.
Yeah.
Just a bit weird.
Yeah.
Just a bit left of the middle. Yeah. Me fucking telling him what the thing was. He's like, does it? Does it really? Are you sure?
I don't remember that. And that's ridiculous.
No, but it is. So I Wikipedia'd it, and that is the actual like legend of the basilisk.
Is it really?
Yeah. And it's like a very like old timey legendary monster.
Yeah, there's basilisks in Dungeons and Dragons.
Drawing of like an old timey basilisk is comical though. It's ridiculous. It looks like Foghorn Leghorn, but with a tail. I'm not even kidding. So yeah, it says that, and then Harry's like, "Ron, the thing, it's a basilisk. That's why I can hear it because it's a snake." And then he looks elsewhere on the page, and Hermione's written pipes.
Yes.
And he's like, and that's how it's been getting around the school, through the pipes.
Because I've been hearing the voices inside the wall.
Yeah, and everyone's like, "Oh, you know."
Yeah, fuck you know. And this whole pipes thing, we obviously slightly take issue with, but I think we discussed it either last week or the week before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How big are these pipes? Also, why are there pipes? It wasn't built with pipes, that's for sure.
Yeah, I guess. How long ago was it built? 1,000 years?
I think so, something like that.
I mean, there wasn't plumbing then.
Yeah. Which I will come back to that a bit later, because I did raise that question. I was like, suspect, yams.
Well, maybe the Wizarding World was ahead of the Muggle world then.
When has that ever been the case?
Well,
like, for real.
Maybe Muggles have just caught up and overtaken.
What, like Usain Bolt?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, God. So, anyway, but in that moment, I was pretty thrilled with their unraveling of the mystery. I love when they sort of start like realizing all the things.
Yeah, and again, this is a good example of Harry not just pulling a conclusion out of thin air.
Yeah.
It's this, I mean, Hermione slightly pulled a conclusion out of thin air in order to know to look up a basilisk, I think. Actually, I can't remember.
I reckon she just looked up snakes.
Yeah, maybe, yeah.
I wonder if there's like a spell you can do like over books to go to find what you're looking for.
I mean, I feel like that would definitely have been invented because there would be so many wizard scholars throughout the ages, but we don't see it. And I think that would have been something Hermione would have learned like day one if it existed. It's called Control F.
Controlius Efficus.
Yeah.
Like, well, it works on my PC at home. Yeah. My Windows 95. Oh, no, it wouldn't be. It would be Windows 92.
Whatever. I don't think it was even called that then.
No.
MS-DOS.
I'll look it up on my Sega Mega Drive.
I had one of them.
Me too. There was a cheat you could do on the Sonic game.
The level select.
Yeah. And there was that one where Sonic just kept on falling down the waterfalls. Do you remember that one?
Yeah.
Yeah. Ah, those days.
I watched a speedrun of that game the other day.
What's a speedrun?
What it sounds like.
What, so someone just videoed them completing the game?
But as fast as possible, in like half an hour.
Was it good?
Yeah. Well, if you like watching that sort of thing.
I can't imagine anyone who would.
There's like literally an entire culture and community around it.
Well, it's not something I want to be a part of, so.
All right, I'll make sure I send you the links.
Please don't. Yeah. They go to the staff room because they want to tell the teachers what they found out.
Yeah, which is a sensible course of action,
I
think.
Yeah, I thought so too. But then when the teachers start to arrive, they hear people starting to arrive, they decide to hide in the cupboard because they want to overhear what the commotion is. And I thought, that's a bit weird.
It is, but they hear a magical announcement.
Oh, God, of course.
Over there.
Yeah.
So they're pacing the staff room. And then while they're in there, they sort of hear a magical announcement to say, everyone back to your dormitories, teachers all meet in the staff room, there's an emergency or whatever. Yeah. And so that's what makes them decide to hide, I think.
Right, okay. I guess
it's still a bit of a weird decision, but like, okay, fine.
Also, now think about it, I can't think of how they got out of the cupboard after the thing that happens.
No.
Because I don't think the teachers all leave, do they?
Well, they must do.
I guess so, because otherwise how else would they get out?
Because there's not a big moment where they get caught.
Yeah. Anyway, so we'll get to that in like 30 seconds.
Yeah,
so,
the bit that we can't remember.
Yeah. So they're in the thing, and then they find out that the air is Slytherin.
I did think a bit, like, it is a little bit sort of unbelievably comical. Like, they hide in the cupboard while all the teachers are... I'm like, come on.
I guess so, but where else would you hide?
Well, you wouldn't. You would get found. Surely one of them has some sort of Dumbledore-level awareness to be like, guys, there are students in the cupboard.
I don't think so, you know.
Not even Snape?
Yeah, because because they're all actually there for something really important, so I think just sort of...
Be kind of distracted, I suppose.
Yeah, I don't think you'd get that sort of like feeling that someone else might be here, because I think you'd be too focused on the matter at hand, which is that Ginny... No, the heir of Slytherin has left another message under the first one that he wrote on the wall, saying that her body will lie in the chamber forever.
Yeah.
And Ginny Weasley's been taken into the chamber. Which I thought, how do they know it was Ginny Weasley?
That's a good point.
Because, like, how would you have... Because you wouldn't have checked, would you?
No. They did a quick control F on all the students.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think it must have been something like that. Maybe they did a quick, like... spell to check where everyone was. No, do you know what? No, there's no way. I don't, because otherwise they would have known where the chamber was, I guess, because Ginny was there. So I don't know how they knew it was Ginny Weasley.
I don't either.
Unless they took like a Polaroid of Ginny and like left it at the scene.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh shit, it's Ginny Weasley, and why is this photo not moving?
Yeah.
The wonders of Kodak.
And how did they take it if Muggle stuff doesn't work here?
Yeah. And no, hold on.
We had this conversation literally about cameras like two episodes ago.
I don't think I needed a battery for my Polaroid camera. And the film didn't have a battery in it either.
No, I suppose it just prints onto the blank thing, doesn't it?
But there is a flash on the camera on my Polaroid spice cam, I'll have, you know.
Well, they don't leave a Polaroid of Ginny at the scene, so...
Maybe just an etching...
Yeah.
So, obviously, everyone's like, fucking hell.
Yeah. And then Lockhart bursts in.
I totally forgot about that. Yeah.
And he's like, oh, sorry about that. What have I missed? I dozed off. And then Snape. And I'm like, yes. Yes, Snape. He goes, ah, just the man for the job. A student's been taken down into the Chamber of Secrets. This should be a trifle for you. And all the other teachers join in, like, surely you should be able to handle this. And I was like, yes. And you just know that they have spent the entire year just barely tolerating this prick.
What I liked, but is not in the book, is that JK has said that they all did that in that moment just to get him out of the way so they could actually focus on how to get her out of the chamber.
Well, McGonagall sort of implies that. After she says, well, that's him out of our hair now.
Oh, or something like yes, that. You are right. Okay. Okay, yeah, maybe I'm a... Yeah. Egg on my face. So, yeah, that happens. And obviously, so Lockhart is like... Well, and right, okay, I guess I'll get right on that. Then he sort of like disappears, and then the teachers say that, then I guess they leave, and then Ron and Harry are like, fuck. So they all go back to the common room, and Harry and the Weasleys are just kind of sitting there like trying to figure out what to do.
Yeah.
And Ron, I don't think, is upset enough that his sister is in the chamber. He's upset enough. No, the way that Stephen Fry reads it, he's like, Ron goes to Harry, you don't think that she's, you know... And then Harry's like, Harry didn't have the heart to say to Ron that maybe she's dead or something like that. And I thought the way that Ron poses that question is a bit too like, oh, you don't think she's like dead, yeah, you know?
Well, I mean, you don't suppose she's there.
He should be like in tears, like, you don't think she's dead, right?
Yeah, I mean, maybe he just hates her.
Yeah, maybe he's like that fucking little bitch.
Maybe
every
he's
Christmas.
Asking optimistically.
Yeah. You don't think she's dead, think right? She's... Oh, oh, then go, I'll go. Be the youngest again. Mum will finally love me. I'll get two sweaters at Christmas.
So they decide to go and tell Lockhart what they have found out, because if he's going to go and try and get into the Chamber of Secrets, what they know might help.
Which is oddly sensible of them.
Yeah, but like, you know, they're desperate to be doing something.
Yeah, but it's weird that they didn't just think, no, we have to go into the chamber ourselves. They actually was like, no, we need to go and tell Lockhart, since he's the one who's going to do it.
Yeah, well, which as far as if they go, we're going to go try and get into the chamber ourselves, like, they probably think, well, Lockhart's also going to be trying to do that, so let's go and try and do it together.
I guess so. It just seemed like very sort of mature of them.
Yeah.
instead of Harry be like, no, it's up to me, I've got to save the day.
I know, but well, I think a lot of what they do in this book is far more mature than 12-year-olds really ever would be.
Yeah, most 12-year-olds would be up in their common rooms trying to pack all their stuff as quick as they could so they could fucking get the fuck out of there.
Yeah, most 12-year-olds would have written home to their mum and dad several times and be like, can I come home, please? People are getting petrified.
Yeah, mate, everyone's dying around us. Can I come home?
Yeah.
Can I just go to a normal school? I just want to go to a normal school that is like an after-school chess club and that's it.
Yeah.
I want to sit GCSEs, not owls. I want a qualification in maths. So yeah, they get to Lockhart's classroom and Lockhart's fucking packing his shit away.
Yeah.
Silly cone.
And he's like, yes, urgent appointment, unavoidable, really. And they're like, are you running away? And then he gets all like, you know, flustered and stuff. And then he basically just kind of
tells them everything.
Yeah, just spills the beans and just says, well, books could be, yeah, that's it.
Because Harry's like, yeah, but like, you've faced stuff like this before, like, what about your books?
Yes, well, books can be misleading, Harry.
And then does one of them say, what?
Well, so you wrote them.
Yeah, he's like, yeah, well, so
yeah, he's like, well, you know, there was lots involved. You have to have to track down the people who actually did these things, find out how they did it, and then give them a memory charm.
Yeah.
And like, I pride myself on my memory charms and all that. So actually, all of the stuff that I've been sort of reckoning about Lockhart, in that he's like delusional and really believes that like he can do these things, is actually not true at all.
Yeah.
He is just a full-on charlatan.
Because he did it all for the fame.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I mean, fame's not so great that you would...
Riches as well.
I guess so, but I would hate to have all those things based on complete lies.
Yeah, but he obviously doesn't give a shit.
Yeah, it's a bit weird, isn't it?
And is perfectly happy to just kind of spill the beans to these boys and then, like, memory charm them.
Yeah.
And so, like, I think he actually is, like, reveals himself to be an actual, like, villain.
Yeah, I think he's probably, like... I was going to say maybe he's the truest villain in the book, and then I forget that there's literally Voldemort. Yeah. But yeah, I was just a bit like, oh, mate, like, there's actually no redeeming qualities about you at all.
No.
You're actually just a complete twat.
Yeah, he is a complete twat. And it's nice that he does turn out to be a true villain, but in a way that doesn't have anything to do with Voldemort.
Yeah, you're so right.
Which is quite nice, I think.
Yeah, actually, I didn't really think of it like that. So yeah, he whips out his wand and then he's like, sorry guys, I'm going to need to obliviate you. I mean, I can't have you blabbing my secrets to everyone now, can I?
Exactly. And then Harry whips out his wand super quick.
And they're like, hey, sword fight. Waggle, waggle, waggle. Everyone's like, don't cross the street.
Yes. And Harry expelliarmuses Lockhart, and Lockhart was again blasted backwards, and his wand flew out of his hand.
Yes, I think you are right. Then it must always be a general disarming spell. Just the force of it can sometimes actually knock the person flying. So yeah, okay. I was like, ah, okay. So Tom was right,
as per usual.
This one time. So they basically make him go with them to Moaning Myrtle's bathroom because they're like, no, you're going to come with us and help us rescue her.
Yeah, although I'm not entirely sure why they insist on bringing Lockhart with them.
So what else can they do? They can either bring him with them or they could kill him.
But why? Just leave him there and go, well, oh, fucking off you go then. We're taking your wand. Bye.
Well, no, because Ron threw his wand out the window. Do you remember? Ron catches it after he expelled the arms and he throws it out the window.
What?
Yeah!
I do not remember that.
Yeah, so
Ron's
goes...
wand is broken.
Oh god, yeah, you're so right.
And he threw a perfectly good wand out of the window after about to go and do the most dangerous thing confronting evil that they've ever done.
I don't think
what a fucking idiot.
I don't think Ron knows about that you can use another wizard's wand, maybe.
Well, you'd at least fucking try.
He catches the wand just as it's falling from the air after it's been expelliarmus. So I think it was just a knee-jerk reaction just to get it out of just so Lockhart couldn't grab it again.
It must have been. But again, like the whole what we'll get to later in the chapter, Lockhart using Ron's wand to try and memory charm them and it backfiring and fucking him up, is just so there are so many reasons why it wouldn't have come to that. Ron would have had a new wand by then. Ron would have kept hold of Lockhart's wand.
He literally only has a broken wound. A broken wound. Ill. Yeah. A broken wand just so that can happen.
Yeah, just so that can happen. And it is one of the things in this book that is so contrived that it just makes me gag, but never mind.
Oh, God. So, they go to the bathroom. They find Moaning Myrtle, and they're like, Myrtle, how did you die? No, she's crying, probably in the U-bend again.
Yeah.
And then he's like, Myrtle. Crying in the U-bend. That's not like a disco track. I don't know what it is.
Just waiting for someone to sit on that toilet.
And is that let like loose. The second line? Yeah. Cause I'm crying in the U-bend. Waiting for someone to sit down. Cause I'm crying from the U-bend. I wanna see your brown. I wanna make you frown.
Jesus Christ.
Now that's what I call music. One. Yeah. Oh, God.
So yeah, we know Moaning Myrtle's into some weird shit.
Yeah.
Sits in the toilet with her mouth open.
Oh, Tom.
If you close your eyes and go through it with your mouth open, you can almost taste it. But she...
Fibrous.
But she snaps right out of that when...
Yeah, she's like, oh, it was... dreadful, but yeah. She says it with glee.
She said with relish.
You've got a sandwich out, a bit of salad cream. Oh, it's dreadful. Yum, 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 yum.
Yeah, she said with relish. All I saw was a pair of big yellow eyes, she said with mayo.
Before I know it, my whole body seized up like a reggae sauce. Yeah. No, because she says that, like, so here I was crying in the U-bend after...
she wasn't in the U-bend then because she was alive.
No, maybe she just used to, like, climb into the toilet.
When she gets bullied, just, just climbing into the toilet.
If I'm wet, they won't see my tears.
Just splashing toilet water all over her, having a full-on meltdown.
Got one leg in the fucking bowl, another in the cistern, and just like... Oh my God.
Oh, Myrtle, you freak. Call me.
Oh God. So yeah, she was crying in the U-bend, and because someone was bullying her, and then she heard someone come in, and she thinks it's the person who was calling her names. Is that right?
She says, I heard they said something in a weird language.
Yeah, so then I opened the door to see who it was, and then the last thing I remember is seeing two yellow eyes, and then my whole body seized up, and then I just started floating away. And then she's like, but then I came back because I knew I wanted to haunt so-and-so.
Olive Hornby.
That's it. Olive Hornby forever for bullying me or whatever. And I was like, so you fucking gave up on moving on so you could haunt someone forever?
She's a freak.
Yeah, for real though, because didn't like that person end up taking out a restraining order with the ministry so that she couldn't haunt them anymore?
I don't know.
It was something like, I think she says that.
You could take out a restraining order on haunting ghosts.
Yeah, yeah. She's like,
how are you going to punish a ghost?
I mean, no, because I think she's like that. She ruined that person's wedding or something like that, and then that person was like, that's it, I've had enough.
Yeah, but how do you enforce that restraining order?
By magic, I guess.
Can you?
Maybe they like magically bound her to the school.
Yeah. You know, that U-bend you love so much.
Yeah, you can't ever leave the cubicle. Fucking hell, what a hellish torment would that be?
I reckon she loves it.
I mean, she probably does. I mean, fucking all the brown you could ever want, right?
Well, by which we mean poo, not heroin.
Yeah. Oh, she loves it when a vegan goes in there. Harry's like... I've lost my fucking place.
Oh, you dickhead.
Oh, you fucking frisbee. I can't remember what happens next. Harry's like, that's it. He's like, So that's it. The entrance to the Chamber of Secrets must be in this bathroom. If this is where she saw the snake.
And they ask her whereabouts did you see the eyes? And she said, over there near that sink. And they start looking the sink up and down, the pipes underneath, all around the taps. And eventually they see a tiny little engraving of a snake on one of the taps.
Yeah.
And the first thing they do is try to turn the tap on, which, is what you would do. And Myrtle says that tap's never worked. Which makes me think, like, if there was a tap in the bath in one of the bathrooms that has never ever worked, why has it not been looked into? Has Filch not tried to have a go at it?
I mean, he probably has, and he was like, well, I've turned it left and I've turned it right and still no water came out. I guess I'm a failure in everything I do.
Yeah.
Who else is going to do anything?
Yeah.
Think and of all the things that are wrong with that castle.
When they installed the plumbing.
This is my point. So I think that the Chamber of Secrets didn't have that entryway originally. I reckon there must have been a different way that Salazar got down there.
Yeah, because there wouldn't have been sinks with taps.
Exactly.
There probably
wouldn't have even been like proper toilets, you know?
Yeah.
So maybe just like the holes that were there were just where the sewage went down, like towards the lake or something like that. So I get the feeling that maybe when Voldemort...
Well, maybe it was a different room entirely. Maybe there was just a secret entrance there.
Yeah, I reckon it might probably was something like that. I reckon
but
Voldemort...
then it would have been... At the time when they installed proper toilets and sinks, it would have been discovered. Someone would have thought, oh, there's a massive, huge pipe here. Leads down. Where does this go?
I reckon maybe it was like covered or maybe there was some sort of obstruction to where it wouldn't have been easily discovered.
Yeah.
So I reckon that when Voldemort was seeking this out... he might have sort of made, like, the turn that sink into an entryway to get down there more easily, maybe.
Yeah.
It had to be something like that. Because,
and then he carved the snake on the tap for some reason.
Maybe because you need to be able to visualize something to make the parcel tongue happen.
Maybe.
It would have to be something like that because that entryway would not have always been there because the plumbing wouldn't have been always there, you know?
Yeah.
So that is peculiar. But then when did plumbing... Plumbing wasn't even a thing until like Victorian times, right?
Well, not like chrome taps.
Yeah. Must have been something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. But then, you know, I mean, we can't be the first... I say you thought of it. You can't be the first to have thought of that. I feel like it must have been put to her before and maybe the fucking Wizarding World was just way advanced on their plumbing game.
I don't think you would be because if you took a shit in your house, you could just like turgio it away.
Yeah.
You know, so you wouldn't need to.
You wouldn't even need plumbing at all.
Yeah. And like they have like water spells. So they could just put the wand on top of a ledge and say like Aguamente and then the water would come out. But they'd already have a shower.
Yeah, and yeah.
Plumbing is only a more, it's like a human invention to get rid of things that wizards could do on their own with magic.
Yeah, so it's interesting that wizards did adopt plumbing from the Muggle world.
I think just because it's easier than having to do a spell all the time.
Well, I suppose, but it's a big investment to get plumbing installed in a building.
Yeah.
Especially a castle like that. I mean, that must have been a project that must have taken like years and years and tearing down parts of it.
And it's weird that they have plumbing, but not central heating.
Yeah.
Curiouser and curiouser.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they descend into the tunnel, and it's like a chute, basically.
Yeah.
And they come out of the bottom, and there's like a sort of long alleyway. And there's loads.
And it's like, they say there must be miles under the castle, and they reckon they're under the lake. And Harry says the chute went on for so long, he was like wondering if it was ever going to come to an end. And they come out on a stone floor.
I think it levels out enough that they start to slow down before they properly shoot out. And it couldn't have been miles, because miles are a long way, you know. If it was miles under the school, one, it'd be fucking hot down there. And two, like, it would have taken minutes for them to get all the way down there via a slide. I think Harry was just being overdramatic.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it does... say that the slide went on for fucking ages.
I feel like it probably
in those exact words.
The slide went on for fucking ages, thought Harry.
Yeah. Because Harry was beginning to wonder if it was ever going to come to an end.
I think that's just him being dramatic. I really do.
Maybe.
It was probably underneath the lake. Under the lake. We're on this tunnel. Ever stop here? For fuck's sake. I apologize. Anyway, they shoot out they see loads of little dead animal bones, and then they see a massive, like, shed basilisk skin in the corner. They think it's a basilisk at first.
Yeah, which is, yeah, man, I would be shitting myself. I really would. Like, I would not do this, I don't think. I wouldn't do half the shit they do, but, like...
I'd be less scared of the basilisk than I would than I was of Aragog and all those spiders, for sure.
Yeah, well, we had this...
Yeah, I'd just like everyone to know. Again, I want everyone to really fucking know. But yeah, how scared I am as fine.
Yeah, no, I feel differently.
What, you're more scared of a snake than spiders?
No, probably not. But I'm more scared of a basilisk than Aragog.
Really?
Yeah. The fact that you can't, if you look at it, you die.
Yeah, but Myrtle's, the way Myrtle explains it is pretty, like, painless.
Yeah, but again, I don't want to die.
No, fair enough. But I feel like if you're going to die by either one of those things, I'd rather die by the basilisk stare.
Yeah, but I'm talking... Again, we kind of did this last week. But, like, you
should we just reenact the whole of last, like, episode? Yeah.
you're, like, going into both encounters knowing that you're going to die. Whereas I'm like... Which one am I more scared of? Which one is more likely to kill me? The basilisk is more likely to kill you. If you going into it thinking you're definitely going to die, then yeah, take the basilisk because it's insta-death.
I think either way, if you have to go and rescue someone from the lair of a monster, I'd much rather potentially face down the basilisk than face down Aragog.
Yeah, I wouldn't. I'd rather face down Aragog because if I can see it, I feel much more comfortable in my plans to get away. Whereas the basilisk, I have to close my eyes, or if I open my eyes and look at it, I die instantly.
No, it's only if you look into its eyes. You can still look at it.
It's going to be looking at you, isn't it? Unless I have a handy phoenix.
Or just have a more interesting person behind you.
Yeah. There are no more interesting people.
Yeah, when I said that, Tom looked at me completely puzzled. Like, what do you mean? I find out that Tom has renamed this to, like, Poorly Read by Tom featuring Gift.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's not the basilisk, it turns out. It's just a bit of skin.
Lockhart is, you know, shivering, pissing himself, like, covering his eyes with his hands. And they're all, like, being like, come on, you fucking old git. Get along.
In those exact words.
Yeah. And then he sort of whimpers and falls to his knees. Ron goes to, like, get him up, and Lockhart tackles him, scrambles around with him, nicks Ron's wand, and is like, aha!
Yeah.
Now I've got you.
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell the world that I was too late to save the girl. You lost your minds at the sight of a mangled body, and we'll all go back up and, you know, I'll be... famous or whatever. Although I don't know how he thinks he's going to be famous, because hasn't done anything. Like, the beast is still going to live.
Yeah, pretty much.
Unless he thinks the snake skin is its body for some reason.
I kind of think so. And to be fair, if Ginny's down there, I mean, he doesn't know this, but there's no one to sort of command the snake. I know, because Tom Riddle would have come to full life, wouldn't he, if she'd properly died?
Yeah.
I don't know. I think she's a Lockhart, just doesn't think, as per usual. J.K. Rowling.
But I think in this case it can be more Lockhart that's being a nonsense prick than J.K. Rowling.
Yeah, because he's not from her mind.
No, but in character he can be doing stuff that doesn't make sense.
Look, stop defending her.
I do quite like her calling people a nonsense prick. But then, so he says he's going to memory charm Ron and Harry. And so then he raises the
That's
wand.
That's what you call it. And then he memory charmed me. All right, show us on the doll where he memory charmed you.
And again, we get an annoying Stephen Fry pronunciation. He says, obliviate.
Yeah, I'm like, no, we all know it's obliviate.
All right, Stephen.
Yeah, fucking Fry. Jesus Christ, that man!
Gifton has some sort of vendetta against Stephen Fry, and I don't get entirely why. God. Apparently he did something at the BAFTAs once. Like, I just...
All right, this is another situation where if I ever met him in real life, I'd pretend like I was totally cool with him in every way. I would even tell him how much I love him narrating the Harry Potter books, which I actually do. I have no more to say on the subject.
Okay. So then this is the moment that Ron's broken wand all year has been leading up to. The wand explodes with a huge force, blasts Lockhart backwards, and the tunnel starts to collapse and chunks of rock all rain down everywhere, and Harry runs out the way, runs deeper into the tunnel to get away from it. Ron runs the other way, and then they turn around to find that the path is blocked, the way is shut.
Yeah, and so Ron's like, Harry, you have to go on, you have to save my bitch sister. And Harry's like, yeah, I do. She's the only tail I'm ever going to get. Yeah. Everyone's like, bloody hell, Harry.
I mean, she actually is, though.
I know. Unless I mean, as far as we know.
Unless you count Cho Chang.
Harry...
are we on to chapter 17 yet?
No, I'm just about to get there. My God. Sorry. So Harry approaches the entryway to the Chamber of Secrets, and it's like a big seal covered in snakes that...
So I got all these snakes on me.
Oh, God.
It's not that kind of seal, guys.
Oh, God. Why do we do this? and then Harry, they all look pretty, like, enchanted. So Harry doesn't have any trouble visualizing them as real. So he says, like, open up, which is like,
Oh, I didn't know you were fluent.
I speak fluent Parcel Force. that was such a... Who am I to recycle a joke? That's terrible. So they open up and then Harry enters. And then we have chapter 17, The Heir of Slytherin. Ooh. But surely this is the chapter that should have been called The Chamber of Secrets.
I guess, but they... like, the mystery of the Chamber of Secrets has been solved by this point. And so, but I guess this chapter takes place inside the Chamber of Secrets.
Yeah,
so,
it would make more sense.
I guess.
I think.
What would you have called the previous chapter?
Myrtle's Bathroom.
That's not a very inspired chapter name, I don't think.
All right, so how many of these chapter names are inspired then, Tom? There's literally one called Cornelius Fudge. Yeah. There's one called The Very Secret Diary.
There's one called Cornelius Fudge. Yeah. Cornelius Fudge is in it for like a scene.
Yeah, exactly. I think Myrtle's Bathroom is a perfectly adequate title.
I guess, but they've done so much in Myrtle's Bathroom already.
Yeah, but now it has utmost importance.
I think it would be something relating to Ginny's capture.
Ginny in the bathroom. Ginny in the bathroom.
What about The Final Victim or something like that?
No, that's fucking terrible.
What? It's better than Myrtle's Bathroom.
No, it's not. Myrtle's Bathroom or The Final Victim.
What's wrong with The Final Victim?
It doesn't sound good.
I think it sounds much better than Myrtle's Bathroom.
Yeah, well, you would. Anyway, chapter 17, Myrtle's Bathroom.
We'll do a social media poll when all of this goes out.
That gets like no votes. And we're like, so guys, the matter has not been settled.
We're going to do another poll. Can you all buck your ideas up, please?
Oh, God. Anyway, right, Harry enters the chamber and he sees Ginny at the end of it.
Yeah.
She does not look good.
She does not. he sees her and goes, ooh.
Fine.
She's seen better days, love.
Yeah. I don't know if there's anything left worth saving. and then he sees young Tom Riddle against, like, the wall.
Yeah, and he's like, oh, Tom, there's a basilisk. Help.
And he says that Tom looks a bit fuzzy around the outside, like he's almost there but not.
Mm.
So Harry's like, huh, that's peculiar.
Also that, you know, Tom was a student at the school 50 years ago.
Yeah,
and
so
he's
Harry's
clearly
like, how the fuck is he here now?
Here, like, no older than 16.
Yeah, so basically Harry, like, runs forward. He tries to get Ginny awake. She's not having it. And he starts talking to Tom Riddle. And Harry's like, what, are you like a memory? Are you like Tom Riddle from the past?
Yeah. He says, are you an illusion? And he says, I'm a memory. And then Harry's like, whatever. Okay, look, we need to get out. And I can't remember exactly how Voldemort first comes up. No, that's it. He says, Voldemort was after your time.
And he says,
Voldemort is my past, present and future.
Yeah, and then Harry's like, what?
He's like, say what?
And then Tom makes his name in fire in the air.
Yeah, Tom Marvolo Riddle, which he then swishes his wand and the letters all rearrange themselves too.
I am Sasha Fierce. I am Kaiser Soze.
I always thought it was a little strange that Tom Riddle acronymed his... is that the right... anagrammed his name to include
I am. Yeah, it doesn't make sense.
Which is a bit strange, I thought.
Yeah, I wouldn't have chosen that.
No.
Because there's other names you could have come up with. like Voldemortum could have been it with for the AM. So, but then it had to be like Lordy Voldemortum. Oh, Lordy.
Also, he just calls himself a lord.
Yeah, but that's the kind of wank thing that he would do.
Yeah, I mean, what land does he own?
Voldemort. I guess the land of pure imagination. Oh, God. Yeah, I mean...
So he's lord of pure imagination.
Yeah. Yeah, but I mean, like, what else... Like, what kind of grand title? Prince Voldemort? King Voldemort? I mean, Snape calls himself the Half-Blood Prince.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, no, but wasn't his mum, like, Eileen Prince or something? I think that's why.
Oh, I don't know.
But... something douchey like that. Yeah, I mean, I'm not surprised you did that, to be honest. That's the kind of thing that... if I was Voldemort, I'd probably try and put that in there.
Baron somewhere. Voldemort?
Baron von Voldemort.
Baron von Voldemort.
Well, like Duke Voldemort.
Duke Voldemort. Marquis. What's that? That's
is that how you pronounce it? I don't think it is. I think it's Marquis.
Yeah.
It's like Marquis de Sade. He was that guy that Geoffrey Rush played in that film, Quills.
All right.
Yeah, he was a... anyway, I will cut this.
We're cutting a lot. I mean, we are going to have to. We're an hour in and we've only got one chapter down.
We're an hour in and we've not discussed anything. It's just been me and Tom... as it always is. Yeah.
He says, Tom Riddle says that he was already using the name Voldemort when he was at Hogwarts among his closest friends. Oh, actually, I guess that's fine, isn't it? I'm just trying to think of when he actually like became Voldemort, because it obviously happened. He was very, you know, Dark Lord ambition. He was very Dark Lord ambition.
Like, it's our new fragrance coming soon.
Like, while he was at school.
Yeah.
Because he spent years trying to look for the Chamber of Secrets to, you know, carry out Salazar Slytherin's work of ridding the school of non-purebloods.
Yeah.
So he was that way inclined from a very early age, I guess.
Yeah, very much so.
And so then, but then I thought he only really became fully evil when he disappeared off to some foreign forest somewhere.
He only became known as the Voldemort we knew when he started his like reign of terror.
Yeah.
And it was only, we later learned, it seems to be only Dumbledore who knew the connection. Dumbledore and the Death Eaters, of course, who knew the connection to Tom Riddle.
Yeah, which I'll... We'll get there.
I like, as I was writing notes about that, I was like, Tom's gonna have so much to say about that. Anyway, so Marvo, Tommy's like, look, basically, as soon as she's dead, I'm gonna become fully formed. He's really excited. He's been excited to meet Harry this whole time because he wanted to know who the person was who like took him down. Because he wanted to see who this great dark wizard was, and it turned. And once Harry sort of says how he got saved. Tom was like, oh, so you're not so special after all. But Tom, because he basically explains that Ginny started writing in the diary and he would write back talking to her because he knew that if he could get her to divulge more and more personal things and develop sort of like a connection to the diary, he could use that to sort of like suck the energy from her and possess her. So the diary acted as sort of like a conduit between them. So now he's sort of draining the last bits of energy from her, life force from her. He's sort of becoming more and more like corporeal.
Yeah. And he did. He explains all that, explains that Ginny did tell him about Harry and that he was very keen to meet him.
Yeah.
And Ginny started worrying that she was losing her mind after the attack started happening. And eventually she became suspicious of the diary and threw it away.
Yeah.
Then when she saw it with Harry, she panicked and went into the boys' dormitory to steal it back, hence revealing...
Oh, yeah.
Who ransacked Harry's room earlier in the book.
Yeah, I forgot about that. Yeah, and he says something really kind of cool. He points out the similarities between him and Harry. He's like, because he thought, you know, I thought that maybe you were some, like, great wizard or something, because there's, you know, like me, because there are strange similarities between us, Harry. Like, we're both half-bloods. We were both... raised away from my parents or something like that. We both parceled mouths.
We even look something alike.
Yeah, and I was like, it is kind of weird that there are those similarities between him and Harry. Yeah. And it explains sort of why Voldemort, as and it, this is explained as well kind of in the book, why Voldemort chose Harry We'll get there. We're literally like fucking 3 books away from diving into that.
Yeah, I was going to say, that is way ahead.
But yeah, it's just, I think it's quite nice that there's so many parallels between them, that they are literally two different sides of almost the same coin.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, that basically, Tom's like, you know, I did wonder how you managed to defeat the greatest wizard of all time. And then Harry's like, Dumbledore is the greatest wizard of all time. And I was like, no, I'm sure he's not. But alas, like, Dumbledore's brainwashed you into thinking he's some fucking god.
Well, I mean, he kind of is.
No, like, he's the probably the, one of the greatest wizards of his age. But any, like, I mean, I think Dumbledore's all... And if he's so fucking great, how comes he can't do shit?
Yeah, well, he chooses not to do
shit. Yeah.
Because Harry has to be the one that does it.
Yeah. Dumbledore in... I was going to say he's actually very godlike in the sense that he does just sort of sit back and watch things unfold.
Yeah, well, we have sort of said that before.
Okay, sorry, Tom. Anyway, so Tom Riddle's like, here, I'm going to fucking kill you.
Yeah, he says, yeah, so it turns out that you're actually nothing special. It was just the charm of your mother.
Yeah, you ain't shit, you'll never be shit.
Yeah.
And then he summons the basilisk, and the basilisk comes all over his face.
Yeah.
And then a fight ensues, basically. Oh, no, as the basilisk comes, Harry hears something, and then Fawkes appears carrying a hat.
Yeah.
And then he drops the hat at Harry's feet, and he perches on Harry's shoulder. This happens just after Harry says that Dumbledore was the greatest wizard of all time. And then Tom's like, oh, so is this what Dumbledore sent his faithful servant? A fucking bird or something?
Yeah.
And a hat. The basilisk comes and basically starts trying to attack Harry. And Harry, like, closes his eyes so he doesn't look at the basilisk. Ends up falling over and, like, hitting his head, I think, or something. Because he tastes blood in his mouth. So he must have whacked his mouth.
That's later, I think.
No, that's then.
Is it?
Yeah, because he's trying to run away from the basilisk, like, without opening his eyes. But he trips and he falls. But then he has to open his
eyes.
Well,
when he says he hits his head and...
No, he sees something because he tastes blood in his mouth. Okay. Unless he's just finally succumbing to whatever disease he has had all year. Finally, the lesion started. But then Fawkes fucking starts attacking the snake.
Yeah, he sees the snake kind of looking the other way, like chasing something, and Fawkes is distracting it. And so Phoenixes aren't affected by the basilisk stare.
Maybe Fawkes wasn't looking at it either.
He literally pecks its eyes out.
Yeah, but... if you could see the like derision that Tom had in his face and voice there when he said that.
You can't... If you're pecking out a giant creature's eyes using your face, you can't not look into its eyes.
No, he wasn't pecking it. He was using his talons to do it.
Was he?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, all right. Fucking smarmy git. So yeah, Fawkes punctures its eyes, which really upset me. I felt really sorry for the basilisk in that moment.
No, I didn't.
I was like, I just think, just leave the eyes and the teeth alone.
No, like, don't leave the eyes and the teeth alone. They're the bits that kill you.
Yeah, but I don't want to read or see it. It just makes me cringe. Oh, so yeah, I felt kind of sorry for the snake just because, eyes.
I think you're the only one.
I'm sure I'm not. I'm sure there are plenty of snake aficionados that listen.
Yeah, snakes. If a snake got its eyes punctured
it's
out,
just
then
it's
yeah.
So like, oh, it's like even in films when the bad guy, something bad happens to like their teeth, their eyes, or their like their nails, their fingernails, that really just makes me cringe. So I hate it.
Yeah, I guess.
So yeah, Harry's like, oh, phew, at least I can look at it now, which he does.
Yeah.
And then he's like, I don't know what else to fucking do. So he just grabs the hat and he's like, oh, something's got to happen. He puts it on, says like, help me, help me.
Yeah. And then he feels something big
and hard flop onto his head.
Yeah. So
he's like,
big and
heavy. Now.
And this is when he struggles to remain conscious. Like,
yeah, because it fucking thwacks him. I felt the pain of that.
Yeah. Because it's like, a sword's fucking heavy, yeah. Man.
I'm surprised it didn't kill him.
Yeah. Can you imagine?
Impaled upon his own sword, like, oh, the irony. So yeah, he pulls the fucking hat off and reaches inside. Then Stephen Fry comically is like, Harry reached inside and felt something long and hard.
Yeah.
Then he'd give it a big tug and I was like, Harry's like, oh, it's all sticking. And he pulls it out and it's not what you might think.
It's a big old sword.
Big old sword. Yeah, with like gems in the hilt. I was just imagining a jewel encrusted penis then.
Of course you were.
They call it the Queen Elizabeth dildo. Yeah. Harry, he like retrieves it, and within moments the basilisk like lunges, and then Harry just impales it upon the sword, driving the sword up through the roof of its mouth.
Yep.
And as hard as he can.
In doing so, feels a sharp pain just above his elbow. Yeah. And realizes that one of the fangs has pierced him.
I was amazed at how quickly this scene is over, because in the film it takes a lot longer.
Like, yeah, well, it's very cinematic, isn't it? They're going to milk it in a film.
I guess so, but it's usually the opposite way around. I thought that's just a bit weird. Usually more written, more details usually put into the book than in the film, I find.
Oh, in general?
Yeah, so but
action sequences.
Yeah, I'm just surprised at how quickly it was over. I mean, I'm glad it was. It didn't need to be any longer, but I was just a bit surprised.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Harry starts to feel hot poison coursing through his body.
Yeah.
And starts to think, oh, shit, well, I'm fucked.
Yeah.
And then Tom Riddle's like, you're fucked. even the bird knows it. Have you seen what it's doing? It's crying.
Yeah.
And then Harry's all like, oh, shit, I'm fucked.
But then he thought, if this is death, it doesn't feel that bad.
Yeah.
And then he's like, actually, he couldn't really feel anything at all.
I'm not fucked.
I'm unfucked.
This phoenix just unfucked me.
And you just hear like the echoes of Dumbledore going, no. And yeah, Harry feels as right as rain all of a sudden. And he's like, oh, no. And then Tom's like, ah, of course, the phoenixes have healing tears. And we was like, oh, we knew that because Dumbledore handily told us all the things phoenixes can do earlier on in the book.
Yeah.
And then Harry, in a moment of quick thinking, grabs the basilisk fang that was on the floor and then drives it into the diary, and ink starts spilling out everywhere, and Tom Riddle screams and then isn't there anymore. Which also is very, like, sort of just over in a flash when it's a bit longer.
Well,
this
is after, because Tom Riddle has Harry's wand.
Yes.
And is corporeal enough to be holding it.
Yeah.
And so he points it and can cast spells.
Can he?
Well, he points it at Harry and says, you know, goodbye, I'm going to kill you now.
Oh.
And so I was kind of, I was a little bit... I don't know, just something about his memory.
Yeah.
And I suppose it's the piece of his soul that was trapped in the diary,
yeah,
sort of manifesting, but then using Ginny's soul to recomplete itself.
Yeah. I don't think her soul, I think just the life energy... was just the energy it took
to give him back a body.
Yeah, because I did kind of... One of the things I had was I kind of wonder how it would have worked if Tom had become whole. Then it would have just been two Voldemorts in the world.
Well, he wouldn't have gone to the trouble of reforming his other body,
would
he?
I reckon he bloody would, yeah.
Wouldn't just be a handsome young man, but with all his previous power.
Well, no, because it's not like it's him from the past. It is technically, but it's just a bit of that, just another bit of soul. So I reckon he would have brought other Voldemort back. And I reckon he maybe would have thought about maybe trying to somehow bring the other bits of soul back into other Voldemorts as well. So there's like seven of him like living and walking around.
Yeah.
I reckon that would have sort of been how the plan unfolded in his head if he had become whole.
Yeah, so to try and like resurrect the pieces of soul that are in the other Horcruxes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm surprised he doesn't try and do that.
I kind of feel like the thought doesn't occur to him, because although that bit of soul from the diary, obviously, I reckon would do that. Once that's gone, it's not like the new Voldemort, the OG Voldemort, would be aware of that. So I reckon just the thought probably didn't occur to him. Plus, I don't know how you would do it.
With the others, because the diary, just by the nature of the diary,
it's quite unique.
It draws people in.
I don't know how you would develop that kind of bond with like Hufflepuff's cup, say, you know?
Yeah, no, I don't know. But
yeah, I reckon it's just a really unique situation. I don't reckon Voldemort, OG Voldemort, would have wanted that. So I reckon the thought of it never would have occurred to him.
Yeah, maybe not. Because they could probably all, like, you know, they'd start, like, they'd all start their own factions.
Yeah.
And they'd be, like, warring between themselves.
That'd be awesome. Yeah. That'd be a whole new series of seven Voldemorts, because some of them would be less bad than the others. So I reckon you'd start to, like, feel sympathy for some of them.
Yeah, like, which pieces of his soul,
yeah,
like, ended up in which incarnations.
Yeah.
And then there's, like, they split, I guess, the UK, because that's where the entire book takes place, into like seven pieces. And then we just have a Game of Thrones style situation.
Oh, that'd be so good. Maybe that's what our fanfic can be.
Yeah, all right.
So anyway, Ginny wakes up, starts crying. And I was sort of amazed that the bit that she's sort of worried about is being expelled.
Yeah.
I was like, what? She's like, oh, God, I didn't know what was happening. Oh, God, I'm going to get expelled. And I was like, that's the least of your worries right now. If anything, you're going to be up on like animal cruelty charges first for the fact you murdered school roosters. Fucking Filch is not going to be happy with you.
No.
Yeah. You've got all those people you petrified. That was what you should be worrying about. Maybe just leave of your own volition, actually. Yeah. I think this whole school would be better off without you.
Can you imagine if Harry said that?
As he was like cradling her, she's like, I'm going to get expelled. He's like, no, don't worry. You can leave of your own choice.
Yeah.
You know, like, that no one's ever going to look just, at you the same way again.
He just said the whole speech you just said. Well, I don't know why you're worried about that, Ginny. You've got lots of other stuff to worry about. Remember this and this you did. Maybe you should just go anyway.
And don't forget Filch's cat. He's never going to forget about that. In fact, Ginny, how about I just hand you this fang and you just finish yourself off? Not in that way. In the deadly way. But if you want to combine the two, I'm here for that also.
If you use it to do the other way, you'll probably end up killing yourself with it anyway, because it's pretty deadly. In fact, try.
This is what Dumbledore wants. Oh, God, and Forks is just there, like, backing away into the corner. Jesus Christ. And Harry just, like, emerges back up and, like, oh, and I couldn't save her. I'm sorry, her body truly will lie in the chamber forever.
I did kill the basilisk and thwart. It was Voldemort's plan, by the way. I stopped it, killed the basilisk. Ginny did die, though.
Yeah, it was just too late.
It was too late.
I mean, but you should have seen what she did to herself.
Honestly.
It was vile.
I mean, don't go down there.
Ever.
No.
It's okay. I'm going to go tell Dumbledore, though. In private.
Are we on chapter 18?
No, well, Forks, basically, Forks, they all go back. Harry brings Ginny back to where the Ron and Lockhart are, and Ron's like...
When you said that, I was like, but Ginny's dead.
Harry drags Ginny's bleeding body back to where Lockhart is. And Harry's like, it's okay, she died as she lived. And he's like, Ron's like, Harry, you never guess what? Lockhart's in a bad way. He fucking obliterated himself, didn't he, silly cunt?
Yeah.
Anyway.
He's like grinning about it. Harry's like, where's Lockhart? And Ron's like, hurt, over there. Yeah. Check it out. It's hilarious.
Which it is, to be fair.
Yeah.
So anyway,
I'm actually not sure his comeuppance is enough, frankly.
I feel like it kind of is, to be fair.
But he doesn't know about it. He doesn't suffer. He's in blissful ignorance.
Oh, yeah. So maybe he's the one who won after all.
Maybe.
Yeah. Alas.
Earwax.
So anyway, the Forks offers to fly them up. They get this message somehow, and Harry grabs onto its tail, and they all grab onto each other, and then Harry feels an amazing lightness spread through his whole body, because as we learned earlier, phoenixes can carry immensely heavy loads.
Indeed.
So they all fly up and Harry loves it, but just as it began, it's all over, and they land back in the bathroom, and then that's when we go into chapter 18,
Dobby's reward.
So they all go back up to McGonagall's office, and the Weasley parents are in there.
Yep.
And so is Dumbledore.
Yep.
And they're
beaming warmly. Like, yes, well done, Harry.
Yeah, of course.
Like sort of all-knowing, like he knew. And again, I do get that impression that Dumbledore does know.
I feel like he did. Then I thought, so Dumbledore knew that, because he knew that weird things are happening around that bathroom. He would have known that that's probably where the Chamber of Secrets was. I feel like Dumbledore would have figured that out and maybe like blasted the bathroom apart until he found the entrance.
It's not really his style, but
yeah,
I feel
but
like...
I mean, he could have. I feel like he would have thought, I must be here somewhere.
Yeah, but again, I think a lot of it is Dumbledore just letting Harry do this stuff because he knows that Harry's got to, you know, level up. Get his experience points.
I think that's exactly it, to be fair, which feels really bad to me.
Yeah, it kind of is, because at the same time, he's holding back information about certain things because he doesn't want to put too much burden on Harry. But at the same time, we really feel like he knows quite a lot of the shit that Harry's going to be going through.
Yeah, exactly.
And he doesn't step in because, like, no, it has to be Harry that does this for himself.
And it's just like, why? I can only hope that Dumbledore, in his quiet spare time, was actually trying to figure out ways to get into the bathroom or get in or find the Chamber of Secrets, because maybe he did figure out it was from there and he just couldn't manage it.
Yeah.
That's all I can hope, but I don't think that's the case.
But I mean, I suppose he does sort of offer, because when we see him getting led out of Hagrid's hut and he says those two wanky things, I will only truly be gone from the school when none here are loyal to me and help will always be available to those who ask for it.
Yeah.
That is basically what happens at the end with Harry in the Chamber, isn't it? Harry shows Dumbledore huge loyalty, and Dumbledore says, at this point, you must have had to show me real loyalty to call Fawkes to you, which is why Fawkes is there. And then he puts the hat on and asks for help, and he gets the Sword of Gryffindor.
Yeah.
And so it's like Dumbledore knew that, and so he gave him a little hint then. I mean, whether Harry was
actually thinking about that. Maybe he said to Fawkes, look, if Harry ever asked for help for anything, I need you to bring him the Sorting Hat.
Yeah.
So maybe that's exactly why Fawkes did it. He heard.
How did Fawkes... Phoenix is like teleport.
Yeah, do you remember in book 5, Fawkes, when they're having the meeting after Arthur's attacked, he says to Fawkes, can you go and give us a warning? And Fawkes like teleports in like a puff of flame to somewhere in the castle, and then he sends like a feather back when Umbridge is on her way to the office. And then when Dumbledore disappears, I can't remember if it's just in the film that Fawkes sort of teleports him out of there, or if in the book Fawkes does it as well. I think Fawkes does it as well, just because you can't apparate in and out of Hogwarts.
But Dumbledore can.
No, he can't. He can do it in the film, but he can't actually do it in the books.
I feel like that does happen in the books.
No, I think it's because Fawkes apparates him out.
No, but when he brings Harry to the thing and he says, me being a short sight cleverer than most men has its advantages, or something like that.
No, that's in the film. They fly out of the school grounds, I think, and then they teleport. They apparate to the cliffside. He doesn't do it from the tower.
Huh. I feel like I remember reading the book and going, oh, so Dumbledore can get around the apparition thing then.
No, I'm almost 100% positive he can't.
Because
Voldemort doesn't.
Do we need to go over your track record of being 100% positive though?
I said I'm almost, yeah. So that would be like 98.9%, whatever.
All right. Yeah, and then I know we've went over this before, but just very briefly, Dumbledore does explain that very few people know Lord Voldemort's real name, that he went under Tom Riddle, that it was his real name is Tom Riddle, and that he disappeared for years, came after, you know, having gone fully evil, came back disfigured, and nobody made the connection between this Dark Lord and the boy that was at school. So, yeah, there's that acknowledgement there. I still think it's bullshit.
I think that makes sense if Dumbledore didn't tell anyone. But I feel like Dumbledore would have or should have told people who Voldemort was, you know?
Yeah, and I feel like it can't have been only Dumbledore that knew.
I reckon it was just Dumbledore and the Death Eaters. Because Dumbledore probably would have figured it out anyway. But don't forget that Tom, before, when he just started to sort of transform into what we know as Voldemort now, he went for the job interview for Defense Against the Dark Arts. So he was still like he resembled Tom Riddle slightly still at that point. And that's when he went and Dumbledore interviewed him. So I can buy that, as Dumbledore would have. And Dumbledore was keeping tabs on Tom Riddle because he had suspicions about him his whole life.
Maybe, but the part of it that I don't buy is that when Voldemort was at large as, you know, Dark Overlord going to try and take over the world. He's infamous, right?
Yeah.
Everyone knows who he is. And the fact that his real name and his real identity is known by some people, even if it is just Dumbledore, and then doesn't get published and become common knowledge, I don't buy that.
I feel like it's that kind of thing because it wasn't what use would have... It wouldn't have been useful for any reason.
No, but people would still... It would still become like, oh my God, it's this guy. Like, what news information is useful,
I guess. But so yeah,
that just realize how ridiculous the thing I just said is. But you know,
in a way, though,
like, criminals get identified in the paper all the time, like,
I guess so. I mean, yeah.
Yeah, I just don't buy that his real name, his real identity was secret this entire time. But anyway, we won't talk for too much longer about that. And then, yeah, so Harry regales the entire story.
I use that exact word.
Did you?
Yeah.
Mr. and Mrs. Weasley take Ginny to the hospital wing, leaving just Harry, Ron, and Lockhart in the office with Dumbledore. And then Dumbledore says, someone's remaining remarkably quiet about their part in this whole thing, Gilderoy. And then Ron's like, it means you. Or that might be a different point, I can't remember. But
yeah, because like Gilderoy, they call him professor or something, and then Gilderoy's like, what? I'm a professor?
Yeah.
And then they say what happened, and then Dumbledore's like, I've impaled upon your own sword, Gilderoy. And then I was like, so you knew he was full of shit this whole time, yet you still hired him? I thought, that's not very cool, is it, Dumbledore?
Oh, impaled upon your own sword, as in... Well, I just took that to mean your own wand backfired.
No, I reckon it was he knew that he used to do that. He used to do memory charms.
Yeah.
So he knew that this would happen.
Yeah.
So I was like, I bet he was like, oh, I don't want this year to go off without a hitch. So how about I get someone's shit to come in just to stir things up?
Yeah. And then, he asks Ron to show Lockhart to the hospital wing, leaving him alone with Harry.
Mm.
And then there's a whole bit about, this is where he says, you must have shown me real loyalty down there to summon Forks. And then Harry confides that he's worried that the Sorting Hat wanted to put him in Slytherin, and that Tom Riddle said there were lots of similarities between us. And Dumbledore says, yes, but you're very... He says a line that I think actually has a lot of truth to it. He says, our choices that show what we truly are far more than our abilities, which I quite liked. And if you need any proof that you're a true Gryffindor, look at the sword you pulled out of the hat. Etc. And it's all very heartwarming and nice.
Yeah, and because he basically just explains that the reason he can do all these things is because Voldemort put a part of himself in Harry the night that he killed his parents.
Yeah.
He doesn't explain quite how yet, because Dumbledore's just got proof of his suspicions about the Horcruxes, we find out later from the diary that he's handed. But he's like, that's why you can speak to snakes, and he doesn't say this, but that is why Harry, the Sorting Hat, wanted to put Harry in Slytherin, because the hat could sense the piece of Voldemort's soul inside him.
Yeah.
So yeah, that happens, and then within that same moment, Lucius storms in.
Yeah, Lucius Malfoy bursts in. Yeah.
And so he's like, oh, you're back again, even though you've been fired or whatever. And then Dumbledore's like, well, I spoke to all the governors, and it turns out they'd been threatened with, like, curses if they didn't all sign their thing to get me sacked.
Yeah, which it did actually occur to me after we'd finished recording last week's episode. Mm. I was just, you know, thinking about it and thinking about the looseness of the whole plot that Dobby warns Harry about.
Yeah.
And, you know, we were like, all Malfoy's plot amounts to is slipping the diary into the hands of a student so that, you know, with the knowledge of what might play out if it does. And that doesn't seem like much of a plot for Dobby to take the extreme action that he does. But actually, Malfoy does get Dumbledore removed as well.
Yeah.
And that, which would probably have been not an insignificant part of the plot, because he would have had to properly, like, whip that vote.
Well, that would all be well and good, but when Dumbledore explains the plot, and he says something to the effects of, well, Lucius, like, if Harry and Ron had never discovered the diary, Ginny would have taken all the blame. And imagine if Arthur Weasley, creator of the Muggle Protection Act, had a daughter who was seeking out the death of Muggleborns. How would that look? And so sort of he's basically saying that the whole reason that this happened was so that he could get his own back on Arthur Weasley for starting that Muggle Protection Act. And I thought so that's why I was like, that's ridiculous.
It is. Like, I mean, surely there were wider intentions than that.
Yeah, but he doesn't say, like, no other explanation is actually offered. Your one makes a lot more sense. Dumbledore seems to, like, sum it up, and Lucius doesn't really...
Yeah, he sort of gets all flustered and like, oh, in that sort of I've been foiled kind of way. But it's like, was that really all his plot was about?
Yeah, because, and then Harry's looking at Dobby, and Dobby's pointing to the diary, pointing at Lucius, then hitting himself on the head.
Yeah, I didn't quite understand.
Yeah,
that.
And then Harry's like, hold on, I'm a Newton bitter. You slipped that diary into Ginny's textbook that day in Diagon Alley.
Yeah.
And I was like, how the fuck did you come to that conclusion in that moment?
Yeah, I
was like, what?
Yeah, it's like he saw Dobby pointing to the diary, pointing to Lucius Malfoy, and then punching himself in the head. And then Harry clicks and goes, oh, of course. Yeah. I'm like, what?
Yeah, you never would have come to that realization. I still
don't understand what Dobby is doing, what he means by that.
Yeah, I would have been maybe like, oh, Lucius somehow gave it. Because Harry was in the shop when Lucius was saying he was getting rid of his dark thing. So maybe I'd have been like, oh, maybe Lucius is the one who kind of got it here.
Yeah.
But that's as far as my mind would have gone. I wouldn't have fucking, ugh, anyway. So yeah, Lucius is like, prove it. And then he storms out.
Yeah, well, we won't be able to do that. which is what Dumbledore says.
Yeah.
I can't remember why, but yeah, he storms out. Come on, Dobby, we're leaving. And he kicks Dobby out the door.
Yeah, poor fucking
and just
Dobby.
Like kicking him down the fucking corridor. And then Harry's sudden plan says, oh, I've got a plan. Can I give the diary back to Mr. Malfoy? Yeah. And Dumbledore knowingly like, well, yes, that sounds like a splendid idea. So he takes one of his slimy, sweaty, horrible socks off, puts Jesus. The diary in it, runs up to Mr. Malfoy, gives it to him, and Malfoy tears it off and goes, oh, what is this? Throws the sock aside.
Yeah.
And he says, you'll meet the same sticky end as your parents one of these days, boy. They were meddlesome fools too. And I'm like, Jesus Christ.
I wouldn't have gotten away with it if it wasn't for those pesky kids.
But like, what a thing for us to... I mean... we know his son is an absolute savage, but what a thing for a fully grown man to say to a 12-year-old.
I sort of respect the fact that he has no like consideration for it. He just turns to his little boy and is like, you'll meet the same sticky end as your parents. They were meddlesome fools too. You prick.
Jesus Christ.
Me and Snape talk about you all the time. But yeah, so basically, this is the bit I hate because it's so like, there's almost no chance that this plan would have worked in real life.
Yeah.
It turns out when Malfoy threw that sock aside, Dobby catches it because the Malfoy's like, come, Dobby. And then Dobby's like, Master presented Dobby with a sock. And then he's like, what? And then he's like, Master threw the sock and Dobby caught it. Dobby's free.
Yeah.
And then Malfoy's like, oh, you lost me, my elf. And then he points his wand at Harry. And then my favourite bit, Dobby goes, you shall not harm Harry Potter. And zaps Malfoy back. And Dobby goes, you must go now. And I'm like, oh, Dobby. But I was like, I'm sorry. But the fact that Malfoy grabbed that book, tore the sock off, threw it in exactly the right way that Dobby would have caught it in midair.
Yeah.
I feel like that probably wouldn't have happened. In real life, you would have thrown that entire thing on the floor. You wouldn't have even like removed the sock from it. And even if you did, you wouldn't have thrown the sock like asunder. You would have just been like, ugh, and, like, threw it on the floor.
Like dropped it.
Yeah.
I guess maybe if Dobby is like directly underneath him, like by his feet, and he just dropped it and it kind of landed in Dobby's hands, maybe.
And Dobby would have had to had like the like caught like sort of caught the thing in the like being like, oh, the sock like in the moment.
Yeah.
I feel like the uptake wouldn't have been that quick. So I feel like that plan never would have worked.
Yeah. But it does work. Dobby
as do all plans in this book.
Yeah. Dobby becomes a free elf and elf apparates out of Hogwarts.
Yeah.
And then they have an end of term pyjama party.
Yeah, which I was so up for. I was like, this is so rad. This is exactly what I wanted to happen at school. Because they're like, it's really late and then they're all like partying basically in their PJs having a feast. McGee cancels the exams.
Yeah.
It's a school treat.
What?
Which I was like, that must have been just years 1 to 3. Because you wouldn't have cancelled the owls or the newts because they're too important.
Yeah, I'm going to say.
Yeah.
Like, what? You cancelled the...
Yeah, because it'd be like, everyone has an automatic pass. It's like, I've literally spent the past 6 months revising.
Yeah, rendering everything you've done this entire year pointless.
So yeah, I feel like it was just years 1 to 3.
Yeah, it must have been.
Or 1 to 4, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that, I'm like, okay, I can deal with that.
Yeah, fine. Let's say it was that.
Which Hermione's not happy about because she's been revising since she got awakened, I think.
Yeah, I suppose.
Lucius is sacked from the School of Governors. I mean, the Governors Board, sorry. The School Governors Board is what I meant to say.
Yeah.
Lockhart gets sent to hospital. Everyone's happy about that, including the teachers. They all basically get on the train home. And when they're in the cabin, Ron or Harry's like, oh, Ginny, what's that thing you saw Percy doing? And she's like, oh, no. She starts banging her head against the window. And they're like, oh, God, somebody.
Oh, God,
she's
the
like
splinters.
A nosebleed. She's like, no, it turns out Percy had a girlfriend, Penelope Clearwater. And
who was the girl that got
petrified
with
which
Hermione.
Fucking when we saw Percy after the fact, he did not seem very upset about it. He seemed pretty like chill about everything. And I'm like, that is one heartless son of a bitch.
So there's that. And then Harry gives Ron his phone number.
Yeah.
And he says, I told your dad how to use a phone. It'll be fine.
Which is not. But that literally brings us up to the end of the book.
Yes, it does.
They sort of just disappear into the sunset on the train.
together. They walk back through their boundary into the Muggle world.
Yeah, it all sort of wraps up nicely like that. And I was like, okay.
So to sort of summarise, I guess, like quite quickly, marked improvement on the first book.
Massively. I think there was a couple of years in between her writing this and the first one, and it shows.
Definitely shows. And there's obviously some ridiculous nonsense that we have covered quite extensively over the course of these episodes, but I find it much easier to put aside with this book and just enjoy, it's particularly the end, these three chapters.
Yeah, I just feel like the way this story builds, the thriller aspect of it, the whodunit mystery aspect is so like on point.
Yeah, me too.
I love him finding all the petrified people and stuff. Those are my favourite bits when he comes across the people who've been petrified and stuff. It's like, oh, God, this killer's on the loose kind of thing. So I do like that.
I really think my favourite bits is the big revelations at the end in Chamber of Secrets.
I mean, yeah, they're all kind of quite awesome in the truest sense of the word.
But yeah. So that's Harry Potter and the Chamber of Secrets.
Yeah.
Hope you enjoyed it. We're going to be doing the movie episode next week.
Yes. And after that, we'll be moving on to The Purple Book.
The Purple Book.
That's it. Let's not say anymore. You've got to figure it out.
But I am, I really am hyped for the next book in the series, though. I think now it's...
I feel like I've got lots of like pickings. Yeah. I feel like a bit of the trouble with this book, that so much of it is so good, there's not been that much to pick apart.
Oh, I think there's been enough. In these last three chapters, not so much, because these last three chapters are really good, and we've kind of done all the picking apart already.
Yeah.
But I think there has been some. I'm a little bit concerned that once we start losing stuff to pick apart, we're going to start...
I mean, maybe we'll just literally get to a point where we're just sucking this book's dick. Like, do you know
maybe,
what I mean?
Maybe.
I don't even mind.
No. Maybe people will hate it when we pedantically pick apart the plot and like, oh, they just want us to hear dick jokes.
No, I feel like people, that's what they're here for.
Yeah.
If people love it as much as we do, I think they've had all these same thoughts.
Yeah,
so
probably.
Maybe the problem will come when they're like praising the book too much.
Actually, to be fair, I hadn't really had many of these thoughts until I started reading it with this kind of...
I've heard that from people, actually.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think the biggest problem is going to be when we get to the book starts to get really, really, really good.
Yeah, the real late
all
books.
We can do is say how awesome this fucking book is.
Yeah, exactly.
We're basically just retelling the chapter.
Yeah.
And that's
it. With each other's dicks in our hands.
Maybe that's when we have to start writing our own like fanfic, like insertions.
Yeah.
So like Harry went to his trial with a dick in his mouth. And that's just what every chapter's like.
Oh, JK.
JK, why? Stop putting dicks in their mouths. Oh, God. Anyway, everyone, thank you for coming along on this ride. Check us out on Instagram, still at poorlyredpod. Check us out on Twitter, at poorlyredpod. Email us at poorlyred@gmail.com.
I would also love to read some 5-star reviews on iTunes, you know, only if you got time.
I mean, even if you haven't got time, fucking log in. Give us 5 stars and tell us how extraordinarily funny we are. That's what I want, what I really, really want. Yeah. So yeah, thanks for listening, guys. I'm glad you've been on this journey through La Chambre des Chouches. I've been Gifton.
And I've been Tom.
And Hagrid has been Hagrid.
Bye.
Bye.